Radio Chaser
on Triple M.
Here's Rhys Muldoon and Charles Firth chatting with Louise Mensch.
Louise Mensch has had an incredibly successful and varied career. Not only as an author, she was also a Conservative MP in the UK, and she is in fact married too. And this might link in with our Triple M listeners. She's actually married to, I never like to define someone as because of who they're married to, so forgive me for that, Louise, but she's married to the manager of Metallica. Louise, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, Louise, I was just wondering if you had a chance to see the movie Some Kind of Monster.
Oh, yeah, of course. I saw that and I bought the DVD. And actually, before I married my husband, who I'd known before, on the DVD issue of the Some Kind of Monster Metallica movie, there's all these extra takeout stuff with, like, the managers make it in. So my husband and his partner, Cliff, were in that. And I must remember watching that on repeat quite a lot of times.
How did they let it happen?
I was ignoring the band and I was just looking at the managers. So, you know, your mileage may vary, as they say.
Right.
Why did they ever let it happen? Why did they do it?
I actually think that's a great movie. So many top flight bands these days had these problems. You've got to let's just say this first of all. I do not speak for Metallica. That's my husband's business. I've got nothing to do with it whatsoever.
Yep.
And it's more than my life is worth to say that I've got anything to do with them whatsoever.
Right.
But that said, I think all bands, if you've been around that world, and I did used to work in the record business myself, are forced families. You know, you have to hang out with the same group of people year in, year out, whether you like it or not. In a way, it's kind of a marriage. So it's not that surprising that over the course of time, these things develop. And I thought that was a really raw and honest look at a band in crisis. And as we can see now, they've just gone from strength to strength. They fixed it.
Yeah.
Maybe there's lessons for people that are rock fans and people that are not rock fans.
Now, speaking of Some Kind of Monster, obviously you're leading the way against a certain Mr. Donald J. Trump.
Indeed.
Yes. And I'm
I
just,
like to think so.
Yes. And, I'm just wondering how a Conservative MP, how did you fall into the role of being, one of the leaders of the sort of anti-Trump movement?
Well, I have been from the beginning. I mean, I like to think that I'm morally consistent. So I am a Conservative, yeah. Always have been, or indeed I was a Tory MP in Britain.
Yeah.
But I do not like treason against the United States. I do not trust Vladimir Putin in any way whatsoever. He's an enemy of not just America and Britain, but also Australia. I will literally never forgive Steve Bannon for what happened to Nick Warner, head of the ASD, when he came into America on a diplomatic passport. That was Steve Bannon and that was Russia. So trying to drive a wedge between what we call the Five Eyes Alliance, Australia,
yep,
New Zealand, Canada, Britain and America, you know, step off, really.
You're right.
And I don't like racists.
Right.
I don't like racists. I don't like sexists. Even before I knew about the treason, I was anti-Trump, and I guess I switched my support to every Conservative in the primaries, and they all fell down one by one. And then I switched to Hillary Clinton because,
yeah,
there was nobody else.
Yeah.
And then a guy called Evan McMullen, ex-CIA agent, who now I think will have a big role in American politics, joined that fight, and I left and followed him. But I've been anti-Trump since the day he declared. I just think he's a clown, and later on I found out he was not only a clown but also a traitor.
Yeah, and so what do you think Trump has actually done? What's the case against Trump?
Let me see. What has Trump himself done? He has colluded knowingly and openly with Vladimir Putin and Russian intelligence to hack the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, and to publish that material and target it at voters. He's also colluded with Russia in the hacking of state voter databases in the US. So, like, your states like Arizona, Michigan, and so forth, those were hacked by the Russians, according to an official report, and Donald Trump absolutely colluded with that.
But how can you know it's Trump? Like, how can you draw the line all the way up to Trump?
Actually pretty easy, and I think we've seen a little bit of that. I'm lucky that I'm doing this interview now as opposed to a week ago, because I have really good intelligence sources, and people say, well, how can you prove it? Name your sources, which obviously I'm not going to do.
Yeah.
But we have seen in the last couple of days Donald Trump Jr. coming out and admitting
yes.
that he met this lawyer connected to Russian intelligence and he asked for opposition on Clinton. He asked for hacked stuff.
And he,
now,
and
I reported... Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, no, I was going to say, and he also claimed that he was there to talk about Russian orphans.
Which
I
yeah, right.
Which I went,
well,
oh, really?
Well, I know, Reese follows me on Twitter, at Louise Mensch, and those of you that don't and have, it's a little bit inside baseball, this, as they say,
yeah.
but the Russian orphans thing is a reference, I think, to a hacker called Baked Alaska,
right.
and we've, all of us who've been on Twitter, or maybe even Facebook, have seen these sort of hacker profiles, these bots.
Yep.
These things attack you and push Russian propaganda. This guy works for works Russia, and there's this Russian encouragement ministry. So there was an adoption agency involved, but it's really just cover for a hacking operation, I think. And I reported before this came out in the mainstream press, I did report signals intelligence, partly from Five Eyes,
yep.
that Donald Trump Jr. was on tape. I mean, you have to ask yourselves, why is the guy admitting it?
Yeah.
And the answer is because it's on tape.
Right.
He can't yeah. really deny it.
Now with as far as the intelligence community goes, once Trump mm-hmm. seemed to pretty much declare war with the intelligence community, did you
yeah.
suddenly find that you had a whole new swathe of sources coming to you
yes,
with information?
Yes, I surely did. Absolutely. Yes,
right.
I did.
Right.
And I suppose as after I left Parliament in 2012, which I did, and I moved to America, there was the Snowden operation, which a lot of people, good people, thought yeah. the guy was a whistleblower. He was not. He was a planted Russian agent. And I think I found that out early, and I did a lot of advocacy for what we call in Britain GCHQ,
right.
which is our version of the NSA over in Britain.
Yeah.
And these guys' home addresses, families and stuff have been doxed by, that is to say, made public
yeah.
By Ed Snowden to Russian intelligence. And I was really furious. And I thundered against that and against the papers that colluded in that when nobody else would. And I think back from 2013, I had friends in the intelligence community. What's been interesting about this is the key role that Australia has played and Five Eyes Intelligence have played in this. I have some Australian intelligence sources, I'm glad to say. And we might joke about each other, you know, Poms and Aussies and whatnot,
yeah.
like what you call an Australian that's good with a bat, a vet. But seriously,
yeah.
we... Sorry, guys. Everybody switches the radio off.
Yeah, no, there's a cricket strike at the moment, so we're all in absolute crisis.
I know.
Yeah.
Sore subject. But however, in real life, Australia, Britain, America, Canada, New Zealand, right, we have each other's backs. Completely.
Yep.
And when somebody tries to get in the middle of that alliance and mess it up,
yep.
then in a way, American agents who are now going to have to prosecute this case, right, they cannot leak to me, and I would never ask a serving intelligence agent to betray their oath and do that. What I find is a lot of Five Eyes intelligence partners retired, not
yep.
that you ever do retire from it, are talking to me. So that includes Australian, former Australian intelligence, I'm very glad to say,
yep. now,
who have played a key role in saving the world by bringing down Trump.
So Louise, within that intelligence community, obviously with this and with spycraft, there's also going to be a lot of disinformation sort of floating around.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you, obviously because you're very much at the pointy end of all of this investigation and often quite controversially, like there's a lot of pushback against you and, you know, sort of there's a lot of sort of infighting amongst the anti-Trump forces, if that's the best way to put it. And I'm just wondering, how do you decide what intelligence that you know that you trust and what intelligence you don't trust?
Well, I think that's a great question. And obviously, when you're doing, as I am, and you're reporting things that are way above top secret classification by intelligence sources, you yourself, as a journalist, can never verify that. I have reported, I stand by my reporting. There is a sealed indictment already existing against Donald Trump at the EDVA with joint jurisdiction by FISC on a RICO charge, which
yep.
is to say with Russian mobsters. Started out as enterprise corruption in New York State, dismissed at the state level, back at federal. I am absolutely certain that this is true,
yep.
and I think it will be coming out shortly. I have taken a welter of rubbish from that.
Yep.
Now, obviously, I'm never going to see that sealed indictment. That's not going to happen. It's one of the most secret documents until it gets unsealed in American jurisprudence. So I'm making a judgment about my sources. How reliable are you? And the way I judge that is, have you given me information in the past that has come to light?
Right.
I don't report everything I hear. Someone wants to qualify themselves to me. They tell me something, and then it subsequently comes true. Ideally, more than one thing. So all of this, it's a judgment on your sources, right? And I think that they are reliable.
Who do you think will be going down with Trump? Like
how long do you have? How long have you got?
You can fill
a couple of cricket teams with it. I'll tell you that much. No problem. And the reserve benches.
Obviously the vice president is one name that sort of seems to be sort of involved. Paul Ryan, who's the head of the lower house, which is sort of
the
House of Representatives,
also
seems to be implicated. But do you think these people will actually go down with Trump, or will it sort of...
Well, define go down. I mean, they're not going to be as president unless Trump immediately resigns, in which case they probably couldn't get a case together for Pence quickly enough, and he will be then pulled down in due course. But my understanding is that Paul Manafort's phone was hot mic'd, which is to say it was hacked and turned into a recording device. So we're not just talking about calls that went to Paul Manafort's phone. We're talking about wherever he carried it, it was recording.
And he was Trump's campaign manager.
Yes, sir, he was. And he handpicked Mike Pence as vice president candidate. And so Mike Pence, for a number of reasons, that's one of them, my sources say, is going to go down in due course. I can't be definitive and say that he'll never be president. He's in line, and you have to have a case and you have to have an impeachment. But I know that one of the reasons for the slight delay in prosecuting all this is the desire of the intelligence community to do things in one fell swoop. So in the line of succession for the US presidency, Trump going down, Pence going down, Ryan, who's next, Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House, also going down. It stops at the fourth guy in line who did not commit treason, a guy called Senator Orrin Hatch, who is the oldest guy in the Senate, or the longest-serving guy in the Senate, and he is clean of any treason.
So now what?
He'll be president.
On a much larger picture, Louise, I'm just wondering, who can we have faith in? Who among the Republicans have integrity? Because we've just seen the Republicans fall over, just again and again. Nobody's standing up against Trump.
That's right.
Who amongst the Republicans are actually going to, find some ethics?
Okay. First of all, I would say first and foremost among all other people is Evan McMullen, who isn't elected to something but has become a huge leader, former CIA agent, ran for president as an independent candidate, basically in order to act as a spoiler, and used to be a House Republican fixer. Jason Chaffetz has been forced out because of his crimes of Congress, and it's widely expected that this guy McMullen will run for his seat in Utah.
Yep.
So I think he's a key voice, right? Apart from him, you can trust John McCain, Lindsey Graham. Now, both of those, if you look at them, appear to have done some slightly weird things, but my information is that they were literally acting a part, and both of them are patriots who hate Russia and are on the side of not only America but also all of us in the Five Eyes Alliance, very much so. So McCain, Graham, you can trust. I would also say a guy called Ben Sass, senator from Nebraska, but the list, honestly, it's pretty small.
Right.
Let me give you a key figure that you can trust in it too, actually. President George W. Bush and President George H.W. Bush, who, as many people will remember, was also the director of the CIA.
Yep.
And my information is that with President Obama, the ex-presidents who don't care at all about politics have been working together in their respective fields to fix this. Don't let's forget that Jeb Bush, former governor of Florida, brother of George W. Bush, hired Chris Steele to provide that dossier, which is becoming more vindicated every day.
Now,
can I just ask, what are the actual stakes here? Like, you know, it is entirely possible that Trump can outrun this, isn't it? Like, you know, Putin got in. Putin got in. You know, and spent the next 18 months consolidating his power. Why couldn't Trump do the same thing? Just keep lying, keep, you know, sort of obfuscating, keep sacking people who get too close, and outrun the justice system.
He can't, because honestly, he cannot, because we have the goods on him, including SIGINT, short for Signals Intelligence. I'd like to thank Australia for taping Ivanka Trump committing treason with the Chinese. On my blog, patriotics.com, I've reported the latest signals intelligence from partners around the world, in Five Eyes and in NATO. The stuff with Donald Trump Jr. that's recently seen was taped by France, by France in retaliation. Well, they knew already that they were trying to work General Flynn, who's going to go to jail at best. We're trying to hack the French election and everything else. I've done a lot of work on these bots, and they're not just America. They're in every country. They're probably in Australia as well, trying to push Russia's agenda. So there is signals. There are literally tapes of these people talking, which voice recognition pattern will match. And it's just a question of, when does Robert Mueller, the special counsel, the prosecutor, when does he declassify this stuff and allow people to print it? I can tell you now that the Washington Post has a tape of Vladimir Putin not only authorizing the attack on America to assist Trump and hurt Clinton, they've got that on tape, but they've also got him conspiring on tape, like a tape of it, with one of the Trump team. I do not know if that person is Trump himself or somebody very close to him, but they've got that tape. The Washington Post has it, not just the intelligence community. They're holding it back at the request of the special prosecutor, which I really commend them for. It's quite patriotic. They don't want to taint the court cases.
So, Louise, what do you think is ultimately the end game? What is the purpose? We can sort of see what Putin's doing, but what is the end game as far as Trump and the forces that support Trump? What is their end game? Because we've seen Trump basically attack all of the US's traditional allies, alienate all of them. He's attacked NATO.
That's right.
He's pretty much done everything that Putin would ask of him. What is his end game? Is it purely to enrich himself, or is there something more than that?
No, it's to enrich himself, to be famous and so forth. And really, you know, this guy has been owned in terms of intel by Russia for a long time. He's committed a lot of treason with them, taken their money, washed it through his dirty casinos. The guy is not successful. It's really hard to lose money in a casino, but he has repeatedly, because he was just laundering Russian money. They own him. Everything that Trump does should be seen through the prism of Vladimir Putin. And I think, honestly, we pay a lot of attention to how nuts Trump is, because he's obviously nuts. Okay, no problem.
Yeah, and
I don't think we pay at all enough attention to how nuts Vladimir Putin is. He really thought he could take on American intelligence and win. You've got to be joking, mate. I'm sorry. Between GCHQ, ASD, you don't stand a prayer. And the punishment on Russia and Putin is going to be enormous. We have not forgotten what happened to Nick Warner. The punishment will be severe.
Is this?
I think really Putin is the madman here.
Is in some ways this payback? Is Putin trying to get payback for the end of the Cold War? When, from his perspective, America came in and basically infiltrated Russia to bring down the Soviet Union. Is Putin's game to sort of try and do the same thing to America?
Yes, it is. But also remember this, right? Putin, basically, his economic—if we were honest about this, economics are destiny and demography is destiny. To put it in a nutshell, Putin was a mediocre KGB agent, but he's very good at terror and killing his opponents.
Yeah.
And he's a pretty rubbish economist.
Yeah.
So he messes up the economy, and when the regions are saying, hey, you get promised us autonomy and you said you would give us help and it's all going to Moscow, in order to cover his back, he whips up a wag the dog scenario where he goes into Ukraine. And the West doesn't stand still for it. They put on sanctions that hurts them even more. And Putin, it's like, it's classic wag the dog. You know, if you're in trouble at home economically and your people are suffering, let's whip up national pride by attacking the big enemy, namely the United States. But honestly, I really do think that not enough attention has been paid to Vladimir Putin's insanity at thinking he was ever going to get this past the combined resources of the Five Eyes Alliance, let alone the whole of NATO, because it's not just us that have been doing this. It's also France, it's also Estonia, Ukraine's intelligence service, really the entire West. And it's a pity, but I think when we look at Navalny and Kasparov and the future for Russia, it's bright. But I do believe that the West, after Trump goes down and all his people go down with him, I believe that the West will be getting rid of Vladimir Putin and everybody in Russia that was allied with him. There's not going to be any mercy.
Now, Louise, having followed this very closely myself, it seems to me that, when we saw, Trump beginning to just fire anybody that was getting anywhere near him and getting close to, mm-hmm. looking into him or investigating him, it was like it started to feel like this was actually a battle for democracy itself. I'm just wondering if that's your read on this, because will the institutions of the United States of America stand up? Will they withhold these assaults?
Well, all I can say to you is I'm 45. Although I feel 25, but whatever. I see a lot of people on my feed who actually are older than me and live through Watergate. Yeah. And they are saying, look, prosecution's here, took 18 months. We're all acclimatized right now to the commercial, to the Twitter, the tweets, the little Facebook post. We want everything solved in 140 characters and we want it solved yesterday. But actually, for an investigation that's both criminal and counterintelligence, this is moving at warp speed. And actually firing James Comey, yep. that hero, only sped it up. It really did. It just sped things up. I think at this stage, even Trump knows that if he's going to fire the special counsel, Robert Mueller, that the guy will just be hired again by Congress to do what he's doing. You literally cannot fire your way out of a prosecution. And I think we've seen the first shots across the bow just this week with Donald Trump Jr. having to admit that he met with Russian intelligence to try and get hacked data on Clinton. When I say that they're all going to die in jail, it's not really hyperbole. I think some of them will be lucky to die in jail. I think some of them may get the death penalty for espionage. I don't support the death penalty, by the way. I'm pro-life. But nevertheless, that's what I think they are looking at. And Australian intelligence, having recorded Ivanka Trump doing treason with the Chinese, really does hold an absolute Trump card, no pun intended here, because the one person that the guy seems to care about in this world is his daughter Ivanka. Doesn't seem to give a monkey's about his three sons, but his daughter Ivanka he cares about. And unfortunately, she thought she was a mafia don herself, and she is not. So there's signals intelligence from France on Eric Trump, and you guys, Australia, have given us very clear signals intelligence on Ivanka Trump. So basically it's going to be Tiffany Trump, the forgotten daughter, and young Baron who'll be all right and hopefully left to look after each other. I feel very sorry for them.
So
it's going to be brutal.
Do you think that the intelligence communities within the Five Eyes, I'm not sure if I've already asked this question, hopefully not, but are they being careful with what information they share with the United States?
Well, define the United States. They're being careful with what information they share with Donald Trump,
yes.
and the absolute traitor, yep. Mike Pompeo, the head of the CIA.
Right.
Traitor, I said it, whatever, he is. They're not being shy with what they privately share with their colleagues in the FBI, the NSA, the intelligence, that's the signals division of American intelligence, with GCHQ. You know, our guys over in Britain, they got pretty badly doxxed in the Snowden affair, but people know how to do this. And I don't know if your listeners are aware, but there was quite a big meeting that went on in New Zealand where all of the Five Eyes just hops over there and had a little chat. Obama came down too.
Yes.
I actually think that when the dust has settled, and we're only like 6-7 months into this, it'll be less than a year before this is all done, in my opinion. the Five Eyes Alliance and indeed the NATO Alliance, the alliance of the free, I say the free peoples of the West, you know, call it a bit Tolkien-esque, but still, the free peoples of the West, the alliance between us is going to be so strong. So although it looks bad now, I think, honestly, the fact is that the chips have been down here in a global scale. The guy, after all, does have his finger on the nuclear button. This was a major threat to the whole safety of the whole world. And we stopped it, as far as I'm concerned. I don't think it'll be too long now.
Yeah, Louise,
before you see the prosecutions.
Louise, do you think that there will come a time when Putin himself finds Donald Trump a liability and actually wants to cut him loose?
Yeah, I think that's happening already. You see various accounts that I know to be Russian intelligence. They may pretend to be members of, quote-unquote, the resistance, but I know them to be Russian intelligence, who are dropping damaging information on Trump and all of his buddies right now. First of all, you know, in this case, there is no honor among thieves, which I don't think serves Vladimir Putin very well. We all know that he's been offing his ambassadors here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah.
And that doesn't inspire a lot of loyalty. And right now, he's dropping Trump like a hot potato. Why? Because Putin, on some level, knows that he has to go through his punishment for attempting this on the West. And until Russia's through that stage, they can't really do anything else. So I think they just want to be shot of it. They know what's happening. They know it can't be stopped. I mean, I have reported today in my blog and reminded people that I've reported that Vladimir Putin himself is on tape from the Kremlin because he was hacked by the Five Eyes Alliance. And I'm not saying who, but somebody in Five Eyes hacked that guy. And not only does American intelligence have the tape of Putin doing this, which in his own voice, so do the US media. They've been asked to hold this, but their patience won't last forever. You know, First Amendment freedom's over there. The Washington Post has this tape, and they've got the right to report. So the Trump train has left the station, and it's gone off the tracks, and it's plunged into the abyss. And I think we, you know, Five Eyes especially, are going to emerge. Our brotherhood, which is quiet and yet runs the world, is going to emerge incredibly strong from this. You know, when America was in danger, Australia, New Zealand, and Britain especially had her back. I'm not saying Canada didn't, but I know for a fact that particularly Australia and Britain just did some magnificent intelligence work to assist our ally when she was in distress.
We're talking to Louise Minch, who's running the sort of journalistic charge against Trump. Louise, just finishing up, you mentioned Watergate. Mm-hmm. Are you Bob Woodward or Carl Bernstein? Which one?
Which is the handsome one? I'm that. Whichever is the handsome one, I'm that guy.
The Robert Redford one.
There you go. Yeah. I'm him. I'm definitely him in a skirt for 100% certainty. I'm the fit one for sure.
Okay, and I'm just wondering, just to wrap us up, Louise, I'm just wondering if you could maybe throw us to a Metallica song if you've got if you have a favourite.
Oh God, let me see. I think my favourite Metallica song is "Creeping Death." It's there's loads, but I do love "Creeping Death."
Creeping
Brilliant
Death
song.
Louise Minch, thanks so much for joining us.
Cheers. Thank you. Now.
Thank you.
Radio Chaser
on Triple M.
Must be done.